now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. Well, today I got a few things to talk about. Before I delve into the new stuff this week, just want to complete a thought from last week when I talked about the cultural Marxism, the Frankfurt School, etc. Never let us forget the underlying spiritual supernatural dynamic that underpins all of that. Because the more somebody buys into the cultural Marxism, the more they buy into all the perversity and the gender confusion and everything else, the more they wind up getting entity infested. There's just no two ways about it. It is important to differentiate between those people who happen to be of the same gender who sincerely love one another. Love is the most powerful force in the multiverse, and true darkness, true evil, true negativity cannot stand before a true love. And I have personal dear friends who are lesbians, a lesbian couple who are raising a wonderful child. And I love these gals dearly. In fact, I have worked with them in more than one lifetime on more than one star system, for that matter. And they are both spiritual warriors and always have been, always will be. So I'm not talking about true love between people of the same gender. And I've said this before, the best supervisor, one of the best I've ever had, was a wonderful lesbian gal in San Diego. The most fair, honest, hardworking supervisor just about I've ever known. Some of the funniest, this may come off as a stereotype, but I don't see it as a stereotype, and I'm someone who values humor. I'm someone who values real comedy, not the vulgarity which passes for comedy today. I've always been more of a Monty Python, Fawlty Towers, Dave Allen at large kind of guy. As far as comedy goes, some of the funniest men I've ever met in my life were gay guys. I mean, they're just naturally funny people. And I value humor. To me, it's important that we have humor, and it's important that we are able to look at things with a humorous slant at times. So I'm not talking about true love between people of the same gender. I want to make that very clear. I'm talking about this gender, intentional gender confusion. Once again, Barbara Bartholik was at the forefront of this kind of research, just as Barbara was at the forefront of the meth, reptilian, gray ET, negative ET connection, the meth connection with alien abductions and negative interdimensionals. She was also at the forefront, not many people know this, with an understanding of how these negative forces, negative entities, particularly reptilians, the role they play in manipulating people into wanting to change their gender to the point of actually having a sex change operation. Decades ago, Barbara Bartholik showed me a video. Barbie was the VHS queen. She always had, you know, several VHS cameras and VHS recorders around because oftentimes, in her words, they would get blitzed by the entities, by the reptilians, grays, and other negative entities, and made to malfunction. So she always had several VHS recorders laying around handy in case she needed to shoot video or simply record somebody over the phone. And Barbie took a lot of video over the years of the people she'd work with. And one of them, and this guy was representative of a certain type of alien abductee, one of them was a tall, you know, strapping, you know, pretty sharp-looking guy, hippie-ish, in his late 40s, going into his 50s. Longish hair, really cool, you know, laid-back demeanor. And this guy was in the process of changing not just his gender, right, his official title, pronoun, but actually his sex. If memory serves, he'd started taking female hormones in order to prepare him for the eventual sex change operation. And Barbie videotaped interviews with him on a number of occasions. And Barbie had done these videos and done this work with this particular individual and others like him. She knew of other males that wanted to change their sex. This is, again, this is going back decades ago. And she felt at the time, and I think some of the males felt at the time that she was working with, that at some level they were aware that these entities wanted them to go through with this sex change, okay? Now, that's not an absolutist, simplistic generalization. Please don't hear what I didn't say. I didn't say that all people that want to change their sex, all people that want to change their gender to a different pronoun, i.e. he, she, or she to he, I'm not saying all of them were manipulated into doing so by negative entities such as reptilians, grays, etc. But I'm saying that some of them definitely are or have been manipulated by these negative entities into wanting to change their genders. And I do know for a fact, and again, this is not a blanket, simplistic generalization, I'm not saying that all people who are homosexual or lesbian got that way because of alien, reptilian manipulation, but at least some of them have, right? Because of the way the reptilians in particular manipulate people. Astral dreamscape manipulation, sexual manipulation, sexual dreamscape manipulation. They do this. They will try to change the sexual orientation of people, just as they may try to turn someone rather into a serial murderer or into a pedophile or into a habitual abuser of women, children, or animals. They will also strive, that depends on the individual involved, to change the person's sexual preference, sexual orientation. So keep that in mind. So when I'm talking about this, the gender confusion and the intentional gender confusion, I'm talking about it from the standpoint of this deep, dark, Luciferian, ultimately non-human agenda. I'm not talking about two people of the same sex who sincerely love each other and are not pushing their beliefs upon others, okay? I don't believe that a heterosexual couple should engage in overt, blatant, you know, passionate kissing and whatnot in front of children, right? I don't think that's a good idea because the children, they're still in this formative stage. They're still learning about themselves and their role in interacting in the environment, interacting with other people, interacting with their parents, with their elders, other kids, etc. They don't need to see adults like making out on a sofa or whatever, right? A heterosexual couple. So I feel the same way about a homosexual couple pushing their beliefs on children. I believe that's wrong too. Call me old-fashioned, I don't care. I just don't believe that it's right, right? You know, call me old-fashioned, but there's some stuff that should be relegated to the bedroom or someplace private, right? Sometimes you see couples kissing each other passionately, momentarily, or you know, what they call pashing, right? Little, you know, romantic kiss or something. And there's nothing wrong with that, as long as it's, you know, doesn't last like for hours, an entire train ride or something. And then if they do that, then I just tune it out. I just read my book or something, right? So I'm not a prude either, but, you know, some things are just best left in to do in private, okay? So that much being said, recently a bill has been initiated in the California State Legislature. The California State Legislature might as well be a hell dimension for all the weird, evil, draconian laws they always seem to pass. And this one is a doozy. It specifies that someone who consistently and persistently uses the wrong pronoun to describe somebody, and once again we're talking about gender here, if someone uses the wrong gender, for example, if a transgender male insists on being called a female or regarded as a female, he to she, him to her, you get the idea. Let me read you an article penned by Joel B. Pollack, P-O-L-L-A-K, on Breitbart.com. Many thanks to my old pal Neil Cruz, fellow Dragon Slayer from way back, who I interviewed on my show. And I really encourage the listeners to plug into the interview I did with, or rather, time I interviewed Neil Cruz, because that was a very good discussion about cultural Marxism, about the attempts to destroy the family, and ways to overcome all of these essentially Luciferian attacks. Everyone has personal preferences. Some interviews get more views, more listens, if you will, than others. For whatever reason, the one with Neil hasn't really gotten a lot of views compared to the other ones. And I encourage people to take the time to listen to the Neil Cruz interview. It's real interesting. Anyhow, Neil, on his show and on his website, brought this issue up, and it came to my attention. And it's an article by Joel Pollack on Breitbart.com, Dateline August 17th, 2017. And it says, the headline is, California Bill, 1 year in jail for using wrong transgender pronoun. A new bill being considered by the California State Senate would punish people who, quote, willfully and repeatedly, unquote, refuse to use a transgender resident's preferred name or pronouns, unquote, in a public health, retirement, or housing institution. The bill, SB 219, was proposed by State Senator Scott Wiener, Democrat from San Francisco. Just to give you an idea of who Scott Wiener is and how powerful he is, let me read you first an old article about him. This is from back in 2015, an article in sfgate.com. This is Bay Area News. I go to sfgate.com a lot when I want to read sports stories about the San Francisco Giants or about the Oakland A's. The article is written by C.W. Nevius, published January 14th, 2015. This is about Scott Wiener. In the world of SF politics, Scott Wiener is a serious player. And the article starts off, just to be clear, it is not true that every piece of legislation that comes out of City Hall is drafted by second-term supervisor Scott Wiener. It only seems that way. And folks, I used to work with the Board of Supervisors in Santa Clara County. I worked for the 4th District Board of Supervisors in Santa Clara County, so I have an understanding of how this kind of stuff works at the county council level. A lot of people know who Zoe Lofgren is. Now she's a big shot in California politics. I remember when Zoe Lofgren was a county supervisor in Santa Clara. Anyway, and even at that level, folks, just the corruption is just rampant. But anyway, just to be clear, it is not true that every piece of legislation that comes out of City Hall is drafted by second-term supervisor Scott Wiener. It only seems that way. We're about to hear more about Wiener as he gears up for what is almost certain to be a run for state senate. He'll base his campaign on what's worked for him so far, a laundry list of legislation, relentless campaigning, the willingness to attend every political event everywhere. I think there may be about three Scott Wieners running around, jokes new Board of Supervisors President London Breed. It got so bad I told him if he introduced one more piece of legislation, I was going to withdraw my support. It hasn't really gotten that bad, but there's no doubting Wiener is a legislative juggernaut. When David Chu was on the board, he put forth the most legislation of any supervisor, but now Wiener, who was second to Chu, has claimed the title. It's been quite a run for a somewhat unlikely politician. Who would have thought that a tall, 6'7", nerdy, his word, gay Jewish guy would become such a political force? He certainly doesn't light up the room with spellbinding speeches. Oh, and he's also named Wiener. So when he proposed legislation to stop, quote, the nude guys from parading around naked in the city, he also provided the irresistible punchline, nude, Wiener, get it? Okay, you get the idea. And now let's fast forward to an article on March 16, 2017. By now, Scott Wiener is the representing California Senate District 11. This article, this is in the senate.ca.gov website itself, talks about how Wiener is connected to the powerful 16-member California Legislative Jewish Caucus. When Mark Levin and Richard Bloom were sworn into office on December 3, 2012, they became the only Jewish members of the state assembly. Now, two terms later, they're part of a thriving 16-member California Legislative Jewish Caucus. The group, which formed the nation's first legislative Jewish caucus in 2014, is growing in influence as its membership expands. It currently includes all 13 Jewish lawmakers at the Capitol, plus three allies. The 16-member body has become a powerful advocate in Sacramento on matters of specific interest to Jews, such as support for Israel and opposition to the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement against Israel, and on universal issues such as supporting immigrants and the underprivileged that appeal to the Jewish sense of civil rights and tikkun olam, etc., etc., etc. Give you an idea of who exactly Scott Wiener is. Okay, continuing on with this bill that Scott Wiener has initiated in the California State Legislature. It includes several other provisions that require a health facility, for example, to honor the gender identity of a patient. So in the old days, folks, you would just, you know, fill in male, female. You would check one box or the other at the hospitals or any other public institution. Then they would throw a bone at you. Okay, other. So you don't identify a male, you don't identify a female, you're just like the other. Okay, that'll work. Now it's like with these dozens of different genders, right? They are really pushing this lunatic concept to just confuse people and just create penalties for people being in a state of confusion is what it amounts to. The bill, SB 219, was proposed by State Senator Scott Wiener, Democrat of San Francisco. It includes several other provisions that require a health facility, for example, to honor the gender identity of a patient, meaning that the patient must be admitted to a room that comports with his or her chosen gender, allowed to use whatever bathroom he or she wants to use, and wear whatever clothing or cosmetics he or she decides to wear. It has gone through several amendments. CBS News notes, fines for repeat offenders could be as high as $1,000 and a jail term of up to a year. CBN also reports the testimony of the California Family Council's Greg Burt. How can you believe in free speech but think the government can compel people to use certain pronouns when talking to others? This is not tolerance. This is not love. This is not mutual respect. True tolerance tolerates people with different views. We need to treat each other with respect, but respect is a two-way street. It is not respectful to threaten people with punishment for having sincerely held beliefs that differ from your own. And the article goes on to say, California Democrats have also taken up the transgender cause as part of their, quote, resistance. I get surprised, you know, as I read these articles. Another zinger just comes in from left field that totally takes me by surprise. California Democrats have also taken up the transgender cause as part of their, quote, resistance to President Donald Trump. In February, when the Trump administration reversed an Obama administration directive on transgender bathrooms in public schools, thus allowing state and local communities to set their own policies again, which is the way it should have been, right? Everything should have been enacted and figured out and settled at the local level. It should never have degenerated to the situation it is now where, you know, the state and the federal government dictate everything. In February, when the Trump administration reversed an Obama administration directive on transgender bathrooms in public schools, thus allowing states and local communities to set their own policies again, California protested. Of course they would. Or rather, the Luciferian freak show types that are in the California legislature, vigorously in favor of the idea that the federal government should impose a uniform standard as a matter of civil rights. And they got to throw that zinger, make it an issue of civil rights when constitutional rights always trump civil rights, whatever civil rights are supposed to be. And nowadays, with the dozens of different genders, right, it's hard to keep track of who's who or what's what. I mean, like in New York, they have like dozens of different genders now. I mean, are they gonna issue us like a field guide book, kind of like like a local wildlife, flora and fauna, like bird guide? Oh, according to this graph, this bar graph on page 14, this person falls into this category. They say these things. They look this way. And that makes the person a hell if I know, right? I mean, there's so many different genders there. You can offend somebody if you don't call them the right gender nowadays, with all these different genders, even a bar graph, a pie chart, an indexed like friggin' guidebook wouldn't help you. All of this is yet another example of the powers that be wanting to dictate reality to us. Black is white, up is down, left is right. Water is dry rock is water. I mean, just everything topsy-turvy. A state of confusion leads to entity infestation. And so they want everyone in this state of confusion, be it over gender, be it over freedom of speech. There should be no issue or confusion about freedom of speech, but they're turning loose all these social justice warriors, and they're being helped by all these professors that are brainwashing them, right, into destroying free speech. And that's the irony of it. They're acting all offended and hurt and sticking up supposedly for all these minority rights, but all they're really doing is just trying to squelch free speech, and that's part of this whole agenda too. What we have with this proposed bill in the California state legislature is literally a thought crime. It's literally a thought crime where you get punished if you don't call somebody by the right pronoun. And here is another story that is connected to the one I just read you. And it just goes to show how coordinated these efforts are throughout the world, okay? This was provided likewise by my old buddy Neil Cruz. And the headline of the story reads, "Canadians could face hate crimes over using the wrong gender pronouns." And the article is written by Rob Shimshock. He's the education reporter for thedailycaller.com. And here's the article dated June 16th, 2017. Canada passed a law Thursday making it illegal to use the wrong gender pronouns. Critics say that Canadians who do not subscribe to progressive gender theory could be accused of hate crimes, jailed, fined, and made to take anti-bias training. What the hell is that? Anti-bias training, like mind control? They throw them into a camp and shave their hair and make them repeat mantras until they're blue in the face and shoot them up through full of Thorazine. Canada passed a law Thursday making it illegal to use the wrong gender pronouns. Critics say that Canadians who do not subscribe to progressive gender theory could be accused of hate crimes, jailed, fined, and made to take anti-bias training. Canada's Senate passed Bill C-16, that's C as in Charlie, 16, which puts gender identity and gender expression into both the country's human rights code as well as the hate crime category of its criminal code by a vote of 67 to 11, according to LifeSite News. The bill now only needs royal assent from the Governor General. "Great news," announced Justin Trudeau, Canada's Prime Minister. "Bill C-16 has passed the Senate, making it illegal to discriminate based on gender identity or expression. Hashtag love is love." Oh, how charming. Always remember, folks, that Justin Trudeau is the son of Pierre Trudeau, the former Canadian Prime Minister. And Kathy O'Brien, remember likewise that Kathy O'Brien, the author of the classic book Transformation of America, identified Pierre Trudeau as a child molester and a pedophile. And then fast forward to today, his eldest son, Justin, winds up being Canadian Prime Minister, go figure. The article goes on to say, "Proud that Bill C-16 has passed in the Senate, said Jody Wilson-Raybould, the country's Attorney General and Minister of Justice. All Canadians should feel free to be me. And the Attorney General has a hashtag, free to be me. I guess they're Twittering or something. There's an argument that transgender identity is too subjective a concept to be enshrined in law because it is defined as an individual's deeply felt internal experience of gender, said Grant Mitchell, a conservative senator, in November 2016. Yet we, of course, accept outright that no one can discriminate on the basis of religion, and that, too, is clearly a very deeply subjective and personal feeling, unquote, apples and oranges, gender identity, gender expression, and religion. Apples and oranges there. Jordan Peterson, a professor at the University of Toronto and one of the bill's fiercest critics, spoke to the Senate before the vote, insisting that it infringed upon citizens' freedom of speech. That's the whole point. And institutes what he views as dubious gender ideology into law. Compelled speech has come to Canada, stated Peterson. We will seriously regret this. Ideologues are using unsuspecting and sometimes complicit members of the so-called transgender community to push their ideological vanguard forward, said the professor to the Senate in May. The very idea that calling someone a term that they didn't choose causes them such irreparable harm that legal remedy should be sought is an indication of just how deeply the culture of victimization has sunk into our society. Unquote. Absolutely, the culture of victimization. Everyone getting so offended, so hurt by statues, so offended by people's haircuts because they look like Nazi haircuts. Peterson has previously pledged not to use irregular gender pronouns, and students have protested him for his opposition to political correctness. And Professor Jordan Peterson spoke at the University of Toronto protest, and there's a video about it. Professor Jordan Peterson set social justice activists on fire when he started publishing his series on the dangers of political correctness. After a protest against him last week, he held his own counter-protest today. Good on you, Professor Jordan Peterson. Well, it just shows you just how crazy everything is, right? We're talking literal thought crimes now just for not calling somebody by the right gender. This is all about just destroying what's left of free speech and paving the way for the hypersexualization of children, because it's not simply a question of gender instilling gender confusion. It's making these children, trying to make these children turn into trisexuals, not just bisexuals, but trisexuals, because in other words, they'll try anything. And that's what these perps want to do. They want to try anything on these children. With these freakazoids, it's like, hey, if it feels good, do it. And so what they're doing, folks, is they're utilizing these hate crimes for people who refuse or are oblivious to the fact that they are supposed to, are mandated by law to call somebody by a specific gender, right? So they use the law to make gender an issue, and it's a stalking horse. It's a means to legitimize pedophilia. It's a means to legitimize the hypersexualization of children, and that's what this next article is going to be about. And when you listen to this, it'll make your hair stand on end. Okay, this article comes from TheBlaze.com and Dateline August 23rd, 2017. And it's topical and it's relevant because this kind of crap has happened similar to this to personal friends of mine just in the last few days. This has happened to friends of mine, something similar to what I'm going to describe to you, okay? It happened to their kids. Okay, TheBlaze.com, August 23rd, 2017. And the article is written by Dave Urbanski. A kindergarten student was reintroduced to classmates as transgender in a California public school recently. And the teacher followed up the student's new gender reveal by reading a pair of books about transgenderism to the class, Okay, understand. These are kindergarten kids. Let me read that first paragraph again. A kindergarten student was reintroduced to classmates as a transgender in a California public school recently, and the teacher followed up the student's new gender reveal by reading a pair of books about transgenderism to the class, KTXL-TV reported. As you might expect, the whole episode at Rockland Academy Schools has more than a few parents upset. Quote, these kids who had never struggled with their gender identity before are all of a sudden scared they could be turned into a boy, unquote. Greg Burt, director of capital engagement with the California Family Council, told the station. The 5-year-old student, born a male, was reintroduced to the class as a girl one day earlier this summer, just a few days before the end of the school year, KTXL said. Parents told KHTK-TV the student also changed clothes at some point during class. Okay, that implies that during the class session, the child either left the room, changed clothes and came back, or they changed clothes in the classroom, right? The teacher followed that up by reading two books to the students on transgenderism geared specifically toward kids. One of them, the well-known I Am Jazz, about the real-life gender transition of Jazz Jennings from a boy to a girl. Things came to a head at a packed school board meeting Monday where parents on both sides of the issue, as well as the teacher in question, spoke out. Quote, I'm so proud of my students, the tearful teacher said during the meeting, defending her actions, KHTK reported. It was never my intent to harm any students, but to help them through a difficult situation, unquote. They didn't need your help, you whack job. They show a picture of her wiping her tear. The teacher who read the transgenderism books to her students speaks Monday at the board meeting, and she's crying, wiping a crocodile tear. She said the two books she read to the students were given to her by a child going through a gender transition, the station said. It isn't clear if the child in question is the transgender student who was in her class. Also at issue is that parents weren't notified, that is, were not notified in advance that the books would be read in class, which would have given parents the opportunity to opt out of having their children present during the reading. But District Superintendent Robin Stout told KTXL that parents weren't notified because the books weren't sex educational material. What nonsense. Joe Michael, legislative manager at Equality California and a transgender male, told KTXL that, quote, most people have a sense of their gender identity at age 3 or 4. And they show a picture of this Joe Michael. Michael told the station that the other students really do need to have that opportunity to engage and hear from the transgender student. But American College of Pediatricians President Michelle Cretella disagreed, telling KTXL that, quote, having an authority figure teach the myth that a child can be trapped in the wrong body will potentially lead to fear that they aren't the sex their bodies clearly indicate, unquote. That's the whole idea, is they instill this confusion to open a doorway for all these entities to come jumping in and all these OCD thought loops that just start pouring in. You're a boy, you're a boy, you're a girl, you're a girl. And having all these entity-infested authority figures encouraging them in this lunacy. Continuing with the article, indeed, Karen England with the Capital Resource Institute told KHTK, quote, the kindergartens came home very confused. That's the whole idea. The kindergartens came home very confused about whether or not you can pick your gender, whether or not they really were a boy or a girl. Folks, confusion is a psychological warfare technique, okay? Like, for example, if someone tries to manipulate me or paint me into a corner and try to manipulate me or con me or do something along those lines, I confuse them, right? I say or I do something that is confusing to them. And that kind of, you know, knocks them back a little bit, puts them on their back foot. And it's a very deliberate act on my part. I create confusion in order to buy myself a little time and create confusion within the mind of the person who's trying to manipulate me. It's a tried and true, tested psychological warfare technique, the engendering of confusion in those you want to either manipulate or just get them to back the F off, right? Continuing. I want her to hear from me as a parent what her gender identity means to her and our family, not from a book that may be controversial, one parent said at the board meeting. KHTK noted, adding that another shared that, quote, my daughter came home crying and shaking, so afraid she could turn into a boy, unquote. You talk about just psychological abuse. The article continues, but as did many of her colleagues at the board meeting, 7th grade teacher Kelly Bryson disagreed that the book shouldn't have been read. Quote, when we head in the direction of banned books or book lists or selective literature that should only be read inside or outside the classroom, I think that's a very dangerous direction to go, she said, KHTK reported. She's just twisting the First Amendment all around is what this freakazoid is doing. When they're the ones that are creating all these laws where, you know, we can't call a boy a boy or a girl a girl because that's somehow offensive and it's like turning them into a victim. One parent told KHTK that her son reacted positively. Quote, it was so precious to see that he had absolutely no prejudice in his body. My child just went in there and listened to the story and didn't relate it to anything malicious or didn't question his own body, unquote. Well, that's a mixed up parent right there. KTXL spoke with the mother of the transgender student in question who declined to speak on camera for fear of backlash, but did say she's unsure of what to expect as the school year begins. And the article goes on to go, when will public schools straighten up? It would seem transgenderism only will intensify and broaden among children as more of them are taught such lessons in the classroom and parents are left without warning or notice. When you have the president of the American College of Pediatricians saying it's a, quote, myth that a child can be trapped in the wrong body and that it's dangerous for a teacher to propagate that, some public school officials clearly aren't listening. The American classroom is increasingly becoming a place where kids are more or less indoctrinated with values decided by authority figures other than their own parents and younger ages, all while mastering academics falls by the wayside. When will public schools straighten up? And that's the end of the article. And this is the Frankfurt School Cultural Marxism with a vengeance, folks. Absolutely with a vengeance. And this just happened to a friend of mine last week. Her son was told by her by a teacher, wouldn't you rather be a girl? Don't you think you should be a girl? Well, my friend, she quite understandably blew her top and got that teacher fired. Thank you very much. See, this is all part of what's known in Victoria, Australia as the Safe Schools Program. And the Safe Schools Program is just all part of this agenda. They call it the Safe Schools Program because the ostensible purpose of it is to keep children from being bullied. It's to protect children from being bullied. But it's got nothing to do with that. It's got everything to do with this gender confusion, engendering confusion within children, and trying to get these children to buy into the notion that they really are in the wrong body. They really are in the wrong body, and they're really the opposite of what they think they are. It's grooming these children for pedophilia. It's grooming these children for pedophilia. And this is the most insidious, evil thing. Well, one of the most evil, insidious things I've heard of. And it's just going on all over the place, folks. I mean, it's completely out of control. And, you know, from the show last week, I pointed out that this whole cultural Marxism School of Frankfurt crap has been going on for decades now. And there's nothing even new about any of this. Now they're just pulling out all the stops, and they're just shooting for all the marbles. Anyway, enough about that. Here is another issue that's reared its ugly head. Thanks to my friend Masaki Miyagawa for bringing it to my attention. This is all part of the agenda. What was it called? Agenda. Now it's called Agenda 2030. It used to be called Agenda 2020 or something like that. Basically, it's all to do with depopulation. Basically, to do with shunting everybody into a post-industrial age where everyone lives in highly monitored, highly surveilled. I mean, think of the movie Escape from Los Angeles or Escape from New York. And this latest boondoggle, this latest, it's not a boondoggle because it's intentional. This latest mind muck has to do with, and there's different names for it. Some places in California call it Vision Zero. It's an initiative to eliminate traffic fatalities, right? Car fatalities. And then in other places, they're called safe streets. And the ostensible purpose is to compel more people to ride bicycles, vice drive cars, because the idea is to make the streets safer for bicyclists at the expense of automobile lanes. Like they really give a rat's ass about motorists, about bicyclists, or about anyone else. I mean, they're chemtrailing everything, and they're hammering everybody with 5G nowadays. But anyway, what this latest manipulation is all about, it's been going on for some time now, actually. What it's all about is Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, whatever they're calling it, depopulation. Get everybody conditioned to congestion on the roads. Eventually, they want everyone to stop driving cars, and they're going to find a reason for that. And notice how all of a sudden, all over the world, we're having these freaks running over people, driving in the crowds, driving up on the sidewalks and footpaths and running people over. And pretty soon, that's going to just be regarded across the board as an act of terrorism. So anyone driving a car is, potentially a terrorist, right? And we've seen this shtick before with all these checkpoints all over the place. But now, they've taken it to another level with this whole concept of reducing the number of car lanes in a big place like Los Angeles and a number of the outlying communities, beach coastal communities, reducing the number of car lanes and increasing the number of bicycle lanes. So once again, let me read you bits and pieces from the Los Angeles Daily News, the urban planning section. And this is Dateline, May 13th, 2017, by Elizabeth Chu, Los Angeles Daily News. The headline reads, "Bike lanes are dividing residents in Pacoima, Sunland, where they're off to a bumpy start." Javier Romero has witnessed nearly 60 years' worth of change from the window of his TV repair shop on Van Nuys Boulevard in Pacoima. I don't really know how to pronounce that. P-O-C-O-I-M-A. But the 78-year-old repairman said the new bike lanes that appeared on his street last fall have him worried. Quote, "That was the worst thing that anyone has done," Romero said, pointing to the plastic post and paint stripes that now section off parts of the road for bicyclists at the expense of automobile lanes. They're doing this in Australia. They're doing this all over the place, folks. Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, whatever you want to call it. Continuing with the article. In one direction, car traffic has been restricted to a single lane that fills up each weekday afternoon with bumper-to-bumper commuter traffic. When Romero walks across Van Nuys Boulevard to get to his home, he now needs to dodge irritated drivers. Yeah, like we need more road rage, right? Quote, "That one lane is so plugged up," that's putting it politely, "that one lane is so plugged up, it takes me 3 stoplights to go across," Romero said. "There's so much traffic and people won't give you the right of way just to go across because, you know, they're frustrated," unquote. Well, of course they're frustrated. That's the whole idea. I mean, just think of a whole bunch of rats just stuck into a cage together, all compressed in amongst themselves, and they're just going nuts. They're clawing, they're biting each other. And that's what they want to do with the Agenda 21, 2030, whatever they're calling it. Because in a place like Los Angeles, and increasingly all over the place, you reduce the number of car lanes, and you're compelling all these motorists to use a single artery. It used to be like 2, 3, 4 lanes. Now it's restricted to a single lane. And you have just how many people have taken up bicycling to get around. I mean, do they envision this like the People's Republic of China? Just like millions of people on bicycles all over the place. Is that what they want? Right? And so you have all these people in a single car lane just honking the horn and, you know, waving their fists at each other and shouting these oaths at each other. Meanwhile, these bicyclists are just happily, you know, riding along. And that's part of the agenda, is to get people acclimated. Not really acclimated. Let's just say have them used to the concept of making do with less, okay? And this is all across the board. It's happening in communications where you're just becoming used to crappy internet service. You're getting used to crappy browsers. Firefox, oh, get it away from me, right? And with this thing with the car lanes and the bicycle lanes, more bicycle lanes, less car lanes means longer traffic, more people stuck in traffic, more people stuck in commuter traffic in the morning and in the afternoon, more angry motorists, more angry employers, more angry bosses. It just makes for like a miasma, a veritable smorgasbord of negative emotions. And that's the idea. Once again, it cycles back to what I talked about at the outset, that everything ultimately has a supernatural, it's not just deep state, folks, it's a supernatural, archontic, you know, matrix element to it. Always. Because in the spirit world, and I talked about this, we talked about this in the Jerry Marzinski interview last week, in the spirit world, thoughts are things. So if you have people sitting there in a single lane of car traffic, a single car lane, and they're just simmering and they're fuming and they're mad and they're watching these bicyclists ride by, right? However many there are. You know, people want to cross the street, but they're not letting them cross the street even though, you know, the light changes and it's time for the pedestrians to go across, and nobody's letting them go across because it's all for one, one for all. Everything is atomization. I am looking out for numero uno. People don't care about pedestrians. People don't care about the other motorists. They just want to get home. They want to get home from a long day at work. They want to open that first can of beer. They want to turn the telly on. They want to immerse themselves, to get themselves out of the headspace of being stuck in commuter traffic, being stuck in a rut job, and plug into another aspect of the matrix, the TV and, you know, the substance abuse, et cetera, et cetera. But like I said, in the spirit world, thoughts are things. So all these things add up. They create a smorgasbord, a miasma of negative feelings, negative emotions. People are going to start hating on bicyclists now. The bike lanes were rolled out as part of Vision Zero, an initiative by Mayor Eric Garcetti to eliminate traffic fatalities by 2025. Oh, yeah, right. He wants to eliminate traffic fatalities by 2025. To do this, city engineers plan to slow down car speeds so that traffic injuries are less severe and don't lead to as many deaths. Reducing lanes is a, quote, proven way to slow down traffic, city engineers say, and bike lanes are a way to accomplish this. The mayor is getting ready to ramp up Vision Zero with a proposal to increase the program's budget from the $3 million allotted this year to $17 million in the upcoming year. But early projects with a Vision Zero label have so far gotten a rough reception. The Van Nuys Boulevard bike lanes and others installed in the area have generated so much uproar that they have become something of a campaign issue in Council District 7. Former Public Works Commissioner Monica Rodriguez and City Council Planning Director Caro Tarasian are facing off in a May 16th runoff. Both are critical of the Van Nuys Boulevard project. Some residents worry the projects may be doing the opposite of their intended goal. On Van Nuys Boulevard, residents say traffic accidents appear to have increased since the bike lanes were installed. Quote, "I would say we're due for one today," unquote, said 22-year-old Minor Lopez, a Pacoima resident and barber who works at Ruiz Barbershop. "Or if not, it's three times a week, probably more. And I'm working here in the barbershop, so I'm watching it all day." Another Pacoima resident, 27-year-old Jose Perez, said he has seen more raging cars, quote-unquote, detouring off Van Nuys Boulevard and into his neighborhood since the lanes were installed. Honestly, I thought they were going to make it better than it was, but they made it worse, he said. I'm not against the bike lanes. I ride a bike from time to time. Perez said children could get hit by cars cutting through residential neighborhoods, while some bicyclists are skeptical and still ride on the sidewalks. The plastic cone is not going to stop a car that's 3,000 pounds, he said, referring to the white bollards dividing the bike and car lanes. So far, city leaders have held off on doing anything about the complaints along Van Nuys Boulevard because they don't care. Why are they going to respond to the complaints? They got an agenda to fulfill and they're doing it. The council district is being overseen temporarily by Council President Herb Wesson, who represents the South Los Angeles district, but stepped in to manage the district when Councilman Felipe Fuentes left office abruptly. The bike lanes installed on Van Nuys Boulevard between San Fernando Road and Laurel Canyon Boulevard were first proposed by Fuentes. The mayor later picked up the project and completed it, unveiling it in late December. So this is like a real issue now, right? And it's only going to get worse. Here's another article which bears listening to. Check this out. This is from LAWeekly.com. And it's written by Hillel Aaron. Silicon Beach fights plan to reduce car lanes and add bike lanes. And this is dated Friday, June 9th, 2017. Los Angeles City Hall's policy of building bike lanes and eliminating car lanes for the purpose of getting cars to drive slower, thereby making streets safer, has met more and more resistance. 2 years ago, Silver Lake erupted into a near-civil war over Rowena Avenue's road diet, quote-unquote, a project that changed the street from two lanes in each direction to one. Detractors said it caused a serious bottleneck in traffic. More recently, City Councilman Paul Krikorian called into question a plan to add bike lanes and reduce car lanes on Lancashire Boulevard in North Hollywood. Now there is a growing backlash against an ambitious road diet plan in Playa del Rey, the sleepy little beach neighborhood near LAX. LAX, for those out-of-towners, is Los Angeles Airport. That's recently been dubbed Silicon Beach for its proliferation of tech startups. The city plans to eliminate car lanes on four Playa del Rey streets to make the streets safer for bicyclists, pedestrians, and in the case of Vista Del Mar, people parking their cars and crossing that street to go to the beach. The Vista Del Mar Road Diet was recently completed, whereas the street used to have two lanes in each direction, it now has only one, with diagonal parking on the east side of the street. Some local residents are incensed. Suzanne Madden, she's mad, her last name is Madden, whose husband is a doctor at Cedars-Sinai in Beverly Hills, says it's added 20 minutes to his morning commute. She says for other locals, it's added nearly an hour. "It has caused a nightmare for everyone that commutes to their jobs," Madden says. "It's hurting families, punishing hardworking people who are just trying to get to work," and that's the whole idea. Last week, Madden helped start a Change.org petition titled "One Lane Madness in Playa del Rey." Reducing major arteries like Vista Del Mar, Pershing, Jefferson, and Culver to one lane each way will be absolutely disastrous. The traffic going to and from work is virtually intolerable now. Reducing lane capacity is nothing short of lunacy. The petition, which now has more than 2,300 signatures, got a boost from tech entrepreneur Peter Pham, who not only signed a petition, but tweeted his support. 1,100 signatures in 24 hours. Yes. Please stop the madness. And then there's a bunch of other people that have chimed in with their tweets saying how the thing is just absolutely crazy. Some of this funding actually is coming from the cap and trade scam, where, you know, people like Al Gore, they make even more money by basically trading in carbon emissions, right? And so they've recycled, bad pun, some of that money towards this whole bike lane thing. And so now in major cities, and like I said, it's even happening in Australia, in Sydney, Australia, that they're causing problems by putting in all these bicycle lanes. But the whole idea, again, is to create frustration, congestion, create a miasma of angry feelings and frustration, and that just feeds these negative entities, folks. That's the whole point, and to condition people, because they want to get people ultimately out of their cars. They don't want people driving. They won't be wanting people driving much longer, okay? So for those of you that are going through all this bike lane madness, I feel for you. I'm sorry for what you've got to go through, but you know, it's, you know, the Chinese have an old saying. I think it was the Chinese. They talk about death by a thousand cuts, and that's what this is, folks. It's just more and more lunacy, just making insanity the norm. So, you know, just keep your shields up. Let's keep fighting the good fight. When we see all this lunacy and all this crap around us and all this social engineering, let's call it out and call them on their own BS. And you know, when enough people wake up to what's going on, maybe something will be done about it. It only becomes an issue for a lot of people when it starts to impact them personally. You know, for a lot of people, all this stuff that we talk about on the podcast and other people talk about on their shows, it doesn't become an issue until it affects somebody personally. Then it becomes an issue. And so now they're just getting in everyone's face with the safe schools and the pedophilia in the schools, and you know, making it normal and legalizing it, basically, and making it illegal to criticize it, and madness with the bike lanes, and which is leading to more fatalities, right? Anyhow, we've reached the end of this week's segment of Bartley's commentaries on the cosmic wars. Wherever you may be, dear listeners, whatever you may be doing, please have a very pleasant time, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now.